chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Mark Bernstein on the show today. Mark is the founder and CEO of Balto, the number one real-time guidance for sales professionals and contact centers. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Mark, I am so delighted that you're making the time to be on the Something Extra podcast today. I've really been excited about our conversation, and I cannot wait for our listeners to hear your story.
Lisa, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our mutual friend, Brittany Brown, who actually connected us. I always want to give a shout out to those people, because if it had been for her saying, "Lisa, I think you need to know Mark," we may not have met. And so I'm really grateful to her for thinking through that and making sure we're connected, Mark.
Yeah, Lisa, how funny is it? You know, Brittany is just a natural connector of people. And actually, we have a whole partnerships program at Balto where we try to find folks in our industry and build relationships and get to network and know them and find ways we can help each other out. And who better of a person to be in that kind of role than Brittany, who is just a natural connector.
I cannot agree more with that. She is terrific. And so you and I initially talked, and I was so impressed, Mark, with what you've done. And I said, you've got to come onto the podcast. But, you know, before we kind of get into that and what you're doing today, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear all about Balto, tell us a little bit about how you grew up. I don't think I asked you that question. I know you went to school at WashU, but did you grow up here in St. Louis?
I actually grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. This little suburb called Chevy Chase, sandwiched between a Bethesda, which growing up, I didn't think anyone knew what Bethesda was, but now I think everyone kind of has a picture of the Naval Center and all the finance that goes on there, and Washington, D.C., so right in the middle of those two areas. I came out to St. Louis for school. I went to WashU in St. Louis here, and right after I graduated, I was looking for jobs at a tech startup, and I was talking to a bunch of my professors in the business school saying, "Hey, I'm looking for some advice. What kind of role should I get when I graduate? Where should I go when I graduate?" And they said, "You probably should start in sales." I majored in entrepreneurship. They said, "If you want to end up starting a company, you're going to be selling the entire time. You're either selling new customers, because you can't just say, oh, I'll hire salespeople and they'll do it. Like in the beginning, it's you. And it's always you to some extent. Or you're selling to bring talent into the company, because you're not building anything by yourself. You need to bring awesome people along the journey with you and make it personally rewarding for them. Or you're selling investors in order to finance the company." So he suggested I go into sales and got synced up with a tech startup here in St. Louis called TopOps. So maybe that's only a little bit of childhood, most of adulthood, but that's kind of how I got here in St. Louis and got into tech.
Yes, I think that that was such wise advice, because we're always selling. But you know, your entrepreneurship did not start after school. Your entrepreneurship started when you were in high school. So tell me about your startup. I think it was called Doorstep Fitness. I think it's brilliant. Here you were, a high school kid. What did you know about anything at that point, Mark?
Absolutely nothing. But what I knew is that I loved personal fitness and I wanted to be a personal trainer. So I wanted to start there. You know, you're first eligible to get a certification when you turn 18. So turned 18, immediately got a personal trainer certification. And now I said, all right, I got a certification, but I have nobody to train. So let me go find people to train. And I went around the neighborhood. I actually, no joke, knocked on doors at one point saying, hi, I'm a newly minted personal trainer. Would you be interested? And you can only knock on so many doors, by the way, in your neighborhood with people you know before you're like, whew, maybe I can try some of this digital marketing stuff that people got going on. It's a little less painful. So ended up at that time, I sent out an email to the community listserv. That's actually like the explosive event that ended up turning it from me just trying to train people into an actual business. I sent out an email and said, hey, I'm a brand new personal trainer. I studied a lot and I care a lot about this and I'm going to be really diligent in working with you and it'll be $20 a session. From that email, ended up getting 8 clients. And I actually created the first logo for the business in Microsoft Word. So it was like a little stick figure of a person holding up dumbbells, created it in Microsoft Word. And at that time, it was just Mark Bernstein, personal trainer. And then we started to continue to evolve and say, what are the needs that people have? When I'm looking at the client base that we've built up, what are the things that they're asking for? And it turns out it was stay-at-home parents and busy professionals are just looking for a way to squeeze in a workout. They can't pack their gym bag, get in the car, go to the gym, park, go to the locker room, change, and then go find equipment and start their workout. It just needs to be now. It's like, I got 30 minutes now. And I realized that direct to your location personal training was in really high demand for those populations. So we ended up turning just, you know, that client base into a business. And we said Doorstep Fitness was personal training direct to your home, office, or local park.
And you know what? This last year, I mean, I hired a trainer that comes to our house 3 times a week. And it's wonderful. At the height of that company, you had 100 clients. You'd hired 5 other trainers. I mean, you had it going on. So I just love that. So you had that in your DNA. You go off to WashU. You get entrepreneurship, marketing, and I think a minor in psych. But you'd already mentioned that you started at the startup Top Ops. And I know that you ended up being one of their top salespeople. I'm going to read something here because I want to get into what you're doing today and kind of the precipice for what you're doing today. There is a vast expanse between being excellently trained and qualified and actually executing. So you said you kind of watched a scenario happening when you were working of a sales manager in one of the SDRs. Can you tell that story a little bit?
What's so interesting is Balto was formed by just putting together a lot of little events and observations. It was almost like a string of stories, very vivid stories where something happened and I said, huh, that's memorable. And there was this one moment where I was watching a SDR manager coaching an SDR. And the SDR is on the phone trying to book a meeting with a prospect. And the manager is hooked in whisper mode. So he can give advice to the SDR, but the prospect can't hear it. And he's kind of listening into the call, trying to give him advice. And at some point, the prospect says, you know, why don't you just call me back in 3 weeks? And the SDR manager says, don't take that. And then the SDR gets flustered and goes, I can't take that. And the prospect is just like, what? And I was like, man, trying to balance both of those conversation, a live, active, vocal conversation with the prospect and having someone whisper in your ear, you can't balance both of those auditory stimuli. So how do you give the SDR something where they can have some sort of resource at their own pace where they can focus on the conversation and then take a breath and focus on the next thing they need to do? Focus on the conversation, take a breath, focus on the next thing you need to do versus trying to do all of them at once in this high pressure moment. So that was kind of one of the observations that ended up leading to what we ended up building at Balto.
Yes. So tell me about Balto, because I know Balto uses artificial intelligence and I think some NLP. Tell the listeners what happens. What does the software do?
We call it real-time guidance. And it is AI that is analyzing everything that a sales or customer service representative says as they say it, everything the customer says as the customer says it, and in real time is giving that representative recommendations in their computer screen for how they can do a better job. So another one of the problems that I wanted to solve, Lisa, is I noticed when I was an SDR, I was an SDR for over a year, I was like, man, I am always talking too much on my calls. And I know I'm doing it. My managers have coached and said, hey, stop talking so much. I know I'm doing it. Why can't I change? And what I realized is that it's one thing to know before the call what you're supposed to do. It's another thing to know right there in the call what you need to do right now. And I was like, if someone could just tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, Mark, ask him a question, take a pause, wouldn't that be helpful? So we invented what we call real-time guidance, which is giving those sort of recommendations. You're talking too much. You're talking too fast. Someone brought up pricing. Here's your pricing questions you can ask instead of just blurting it out. If they bring up an objection like, oh, why don't you call me back? You know, Balto will put up your talking points for what you should say instead of, okay, thanks, bye, which is the most common response. So it's all of those sort of things just in the moment helping you be the sort of representative that you want to be and you know you should be.
It's an amazing training tool. Now, you have found that Balto not only helps in the sales process, but service, accounts receivable reps. I mean, you've got other areas now that Balto is applying to. And I think even some areas where compliance is a big issue, you know, making sure that you are asking the right questions in the right way, right? There's a lot more to it than just in sales. But tell me a little bit about the 30% myth where you say, you know, if you've got a 3-0 batting average in baseball, you're an all-star. But we don't have to accept that in sales. If you've got a 30% success rate, what happens to the other 70% of the calls?
In sales, we do compare it to baseball all the time. And we say, oh, you know, a 0.3 batting average in baseball is an all-star. So if you have 0.3 in sales, you're an all-star. But sales is not baseball. And there's an assumption baked into that, which is that the reason that that makes you an all-star is because the other 70% of the calls you're just kind of saying are unwinnable, unqualified, never would have bought, nothing you could have done. And that assumption is kind of baked in there. So then you say, okay, let's imagine that 70% isn't all unwinnable, unqualified. Let's imagine that 70%, 1/7, you could have won. If you had done this versus that, you could have won. Well, 1/7 of 70% is going to be 10 percentage points. So you have 10 percentage points you could have won on a 30% close rate, which is a 33% increase in revenue. Like you could be 33% more productive by just doing better on 1/7 of those calls that you lost when you could have won. The fact that there's such a big lever in conversions that the math works out that way, that just getting 1/7 of your unwinnable or what you thought was unwinnable and turning it into winnable improves your revenue by 33% is bonkers. So I think that we often think that the ceiling is lower than it is. We say the ceiling of excellent performance is 30 and everything else is just junk. But I think the ceiling is a lot higher than we often give it credit for. And one thing that's really funny is we'll have folks start on Balto and no joke, we do controlled A/B tests where when you're a new customer, we actually put half your users on Balto and half your users not on Balto as a control group. So we can run an experiment and show you the difference between your Balto group and your non-Balto group. And we got back results from an A/B test last week that the Balto group closed 163% more than the non-Balto group, which is 2.6 times. Now, that's not what happens all the time, but that's how much gap there was. And no one thought that was possible. We say that fundamentally what Balto is about is scaling out excellent conversations to your entire organization with a push of a button. What happens to any business, any company, when every conversation is excellent? When every time you talk to your customers, it's excellent. And that, I think, there's so much hidden opportunity there that the entire business world still has to uncover.
Yeah, it's so compelling. You know, you've got that anecdotal story, but you've got lots. You said National General Insurance is one of the Fortune 100 fastest growing companies. They increased their sales performance by 16% using real-time guidance. Another large insurance group achieved a 132% increase. I mean, it works. And so I'm so excited about what you're doing. And I want to continue our conversation, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Mark Bernstein. Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground. So, Mark, I want to camp out on this just for a minute more. I love what you said in this article that you'd written. You said your top performer is not your ceiling. Perfection is your ceiling. And you and I were just talking about this. And the top performer, listen, none of us ever reach what I would consider the summit. There's always a next level, right? So your top performer could even get better and improve, right? The top performer, and that's oftentimes what we do in organizations. This is the gold standard, but I think that's a fallacy.
It's funny because this is just true in business. And it's also true across life. You know, people talk about Roger Bannister breaking the 4-minute mile. And then after he did that, there was a wave of other people who were able to run a 4-minute mile. And now really good high school athletes can run a 4-minute mile, which was previously thought to be impossible. So, you know, we continue as people to be surprised at what we're capable of. And I would maybe give you a quantitative example and say, let's imagine you have a 20-person sales organization, pretty beefy sized sales organization, and you take your top performer. Well, that means that that person is in the, you know, number 1 out of 20, which is the top 5%. Well, let's imagine that you were able to then hire someone who is the best out of 100-person sales organization, the number 1 out of 100, so the top 1%, and boom, that person came in. What would the standards for sales performance now be at your organization? Chances are that that 1%, even though the top 5% person was awesome, the top 1% probably has just an extra gear. It's like the Tiger Woods, who everyone's like, poof, my goodness, how does this person do it? Well, now your standard is that top 1% who might be doing 20 or 30% better than the best that you had previously thought was possible. So I think that organizations, when they're thinking about what sort of objectives do we want to hit, how good can we get this team, don't just look at what your best person is and say, I want everyone to get there. Look at what the absolute best possible scenario that could happen is and see if you can get people there. I'll even take one quick quote or thought from Elon Musk. He says this all the time. He says that we say that nothing is impossible unless it defies a known law of physics. So that's one of the ways he's able to achieve all of this crazy stuff is he looks at what it takes to do it and says, well, it's not impossible. It's just very hard. So I would say for your organization, your business, what is the absolute most that can be done within the laws of math and communication and human interaction? And I think it's usually a bit higher than most of us had anticipated.
I could not agree more. So I have to ask you, Mark, Balto Software. Tell us where the name came from.
Yeah, so it is named after Balto the dog, the real dog. A lot of people had seen the Disney movie. I grew up on the Disney movie. Awesome movie. It came out, I think, 2 weeks before Toy Story. So it got a little bit overshadowed, but that's okay because Toy Story is amazing. And the Disney movie is based on the real Balto story, where in the 1920s, there was this epidemic called diphtheria. In the northwest corner of Alaska, this tiny town called Nome, Alaska, 2,000 or 3,000 people. And the closest antitoxin to cure this outbreak was in Anchorage, 674 miles away. In the winters, it was so cold, you could not fly a plane because the engines would freeze. You also couldn't take it by ship because the seas were totally frozen. So in order to save this town, the only option they had was to have a relay team of 20 different dog sled teams to bring the antitoxin from Anchorage all the way 674 miles into Nome. And Balto was the last dog on the last team that brought the antitoxin into Nome. Now, besides the fact that it's just a great American story and, you know, a story of heroism and all that, we love the relationship that Balto and the musher have there. Because Balto was using abilities that he as a dog had that people didn't, you know, a sense of smell, be able to stick to the trail, the ability to keep all the dogs mushing in order. But Balto wasn't in charge. Balto didn't say, I'm going to Nome, everyone. I'm going to go save this town. The musher, the human is in charge. And now when we look at AI, people talk about AI, they think about AI as like these robot overlords that are going to take over everything. And I don't think that's the right relationship to be thinking about human and AI right now. AI in this era is going to have and does have abilities that people don't have. People currently have abilities that AI doesn't have. And both of those abilities need to be combined to create better outcomes where the overall more sentient being, the people, are in charge. And that we want AI to have the same relationship with people that people have with dogs. We want that to come through in our brand and in our name. And that's how we ended up choosing on Balto.
I think it's brilliant. And if you have not seen that movie, listeners, please watch that movie. It is so good and so inspirational. And then you'll understand even more why Mark wanted to choose that as the name. So Mark, I am so grateful. We are so blessed to have you here in St. Louis. I mean, you went to school here at WashU, but you didn't grow up here. And I'm so glad that you decided to stay.
Yes, St. Louis hooked me. It might have been a Forbes article or Time article, and it said 100 best cities in the world. And St. Louis was named one of the 100 best cities in the world with an incredible culinary scene, and it's a wonderful place to be. But one of the things that people here in St. Louis know and a lot of folks outside don't know is they call St. Louis a big, small town, where it's a metro area of 2.8 million people. I think it's 8 Fortune 500. So we got MasterCard here and Centene, Cigna, Express Scripts. So there's a lot of big businesses, which means there's a lot of opportunity for work and different industries that sprout up. We have the Danforth Plant Science Center, and them in combination with Bayer Monsanto have created this huge ag tech scene, really incredible. So there's all these opportunities, but it's very neighborhood by neighborhood. So you build these little communities here in St. Louis where you see the same people all the time. You go to the same coffee shops. People know your names. You somehow have a connection with everyone else that you've met, where this person knows that person. So it has the resources of a big city, including a world-class university like WashU, with a community that every single interaction you have in the day, you feel important. You know, I came from the Washington, D.C. area, and on the East Coast, you're moving so fast and you have so many interactions with so many people that you can't treat every interaction as important. By the way, I love D.C., great city. That's maybe one of the downsides is you see so many people, it's just on to the next one. But because you in St. Louis are generally having overall fewer interactions in your day, everyone is a connection. Everyone feels special. And it means that you're able to build a community here that I think is harder to find in a lot of bigger metro regions.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad. Like I said, Mark, I'm so glad that you stayed. And we're not from here either. Greg and I are from Kentucky, a small town in Kentucky. And when we moved here, you know, we moved with McDonnell Douglas. We were recruited right out of school to work for McDonnell Douglas. And we said, oh, we'll be here probably for 2 years and then we'll go somewhere else. And that was 37 years ago. And so we too have found it just to be a wonderful place. And people are just willing to help, I feel like too. So I'm sure, Mark, you've had some mentors, you've had some advisors over the years that have spoken words of life into you as you've been on this entrepreneurial journey. Are there any words of advice from a mentor that have stuck with you today that you can share with our listeners?
So many. I'll just choose maybe one or two though. I think that one of the things that has continued to surprise me is you take on a new challenge or a new type of work or new responsibilities, and then you get good at those responsibilities. And you know, you're totally within your strength band and you're conquering and tackling it all and you're doing great. And you feel like, perfect, I had my growth event, I'm done. And what some mentors have continued to impress upon me is there's always another level. There's always folks who were at the level that you were and then advanced to new responsibilities and bigger challenges. And there's always another level. And I would encourage anyone, and I do this to the folks at our company all the time, look for that other level. Be proud of what you've done, and you don't need to try to think 8 steps ahead, because you know, then there's a little bit of disconnect between where you are and where you want to be. But keep your eyes out for what the next level of performance might look like. What's someone who's been doing it a little bit longer, who has a little bit more knowledge, who has seen a broader variety of examples? try to talk to those people and get to know those people because they really know things that you don't. And I'll say, Lisa, it's actually a blessing as, you know, a younger entrepreneur. I'm 28 years old. I've had no option but to learn from people who are more experienced and better, because everyone is more experienced, you know, better in some way, shape, or form. So it allowed us to start out the company with a level of humility and constant recognition of how little we know in the grand scheme of things. And that's why one of our values, we say, start with gratitude. We have three values. One of them is start with gratitude. Leadership is ownership and always be growing. Start with gratitude. One of the kind of sub bullet points is we say gratitude is humility. It's recognizing others and the contributions and impacts they've made that allowed you to get to here. It's recognizing the times in which you just got lucky or fortunate and where your skills weren't the thing that made it happen. It's you got lucky. And you need to recognize when did you make it happen and when did you get lucky? And all of these things together are what produce our successes. So I would say keeping an open mind about what the next level performance looks like, always be looking for what great people are doing and being humble about where you are now, not thinking that you're the cat's meow or whatever the more modern phrasing is of that, but instead being humble about where you are and all that you have left to go.
Yeah. Humility is so important. And, you know, I'm reminded of that quote, Mark, that says, you know, if I've achieved anything, it's because I have stood on the shoulder of great men and great women. You know, I mean, somebody got you to here. They've done all of these things to get the ecosystem or whatever it may be, the university system to where it needs to be. And then you're standing on the shoulders of that and going further. So I could not agree with you more on all of those things. And gratitude, I always say, you know, it's really hard to be disgruntled when you start with gratitude. And we can all find something every day, I believe, to be grateful for. And it could be a very small thing, but look for those things and celebrate how far you've come, but always know that there's always a next level. Well, this is called Something Extra. I would like for you, because you've got a special team member that I know you want to give a shout out to, about something extra that you've noticed in this person. And I think it's Tyler Wunderlich. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Tyler?
Lisa, if I could talk about everybody, I would, but you said I had to choose one. So I'm choosing Tyler. First of all, huge congratulations to him and his wife, who had a newborn baby just 3 weeks ago and is out on paternity leave. And at the same time, we're putting together some really big plans for product releases and meeting a whole bunch of strategic partners to the company. And we were trying to put together all these plans across different leaders in the company. And Tyler, you couldn't keep him away. And he's on paternity leave. He says, Mark, how can I help? I said, Tyler, we're good, bud. We're going to figure this out. And he said, well, maybe I can just come in for an hour and explain how my function works here, or maybe I can just contribute in this way and run some numbers for you. And you know, when you think about what we're trying to do at Balto, first of all, we're not trying to get people to work on paternity leave, so shame on you. I'm just kidding. What really matters there is the passion and the effort to being there for the team and being there for our customers. And he's our VP of customer success. And you couldn't think of somebody who is willing to jump at the drop of a hat to do something special for our customers. You can't think of anyone who would do that more than Tyler. So there he is with a newborn baby, balancing those responsibilities and also taking care of his team and customer success, taking care of our customer base, taking care of the broader company. And that sort of commitment is really, really special.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's that owner mentality, isn't it? Well, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I think beyond the stuff that you hear often, like empathy, which is very real and very important, or putting others first, very real and very important. I think that what a great leader needs to do is figure out how you can package up all of the messy, chaotic information out there, because we're all getting bombarded with different information and requests and things to do and things we need to get back to people about. And how can you package all of that up into a very clear message for the folks who you're working with and say, when you look at what's most important, it's that we really need to do this. I think that clarity is one of the most important things. And a lot of leaders go, okay, I'll just be empathetic and put people first and be a cheerleader for the team. And it's like, those are important attributes for sure, but people are counting on you to see the full picture and to help share that picture with them. I think that's one of the things that folks often underestimate is how important it is to be providing that perspective for the people that you're leading.
Yes. Greg calls it the entree. Make sure you're serving up the entree and not just the side dishes. So I love that. Clarity is really important. So Mark, I want you to tell the listeners anything that you want to talk about before we sign off here.
We just released 2 new products at Balto. Biggest product releases we've done since maybe 2018. We call it real-time coaching and real-time QA. Real-time coaching is every manager's dream. Like, you think about how you have 5, 10, or 20 reps that you're working with and managing, and you're thinking, what if the second they needed help, they were having a tough call, someone gave in an objection, or they forgot to do something they really should have done, that the second they needed help, you got a notification as a manager. And it said, boop, there you go. This rep needs help on pricing. They're in a tough pricing conversation right now. And what if you could then click a button and listen to the call and say, okay, let me hear what's going on. What if you click another button? You could read the live transcript right there as it was happening and see exactly what happened before. So you can almost go back in time and know how the rep got there. And what if right there in the moment, you could chat different helpful recommendations to the rep to help them succeed? And you think about the best coaching experiences that we've all had as people, and it's when you and your manager are working together to get the win, and you both close the big deal together, and you, back when people were in person, you leave the client's office and you high five and say, wow, we did it. How can we create a culture where the rep and manager are working together versus the manager sitting back saying, do you know what you could have done better there? Like, let's change that culture. And we're doing that with real-time coaching that allows you to right there jump in and help reps when they need it most. And then as far as real-time QA, we built the ability to automatically score 100% of your calls. So you put in a scorecard, you put in criteria, and you say, hey, I want to do quality assurance on 100% of the calls in real time. I want to know exactly what the score is of every call, section by section, item by item, agent by agent. And Balto allows you to do that right there in real time for 100% of calls, which for QA leaders means lower QA costs, higher accuracy because it's not subjective, and you're getting 100% of calls. So you're able to catch and see everything versus just see 2 to 4 calls a month, which is about the average that a QA leader will review per agent. So we're really excited about those 2 product releases, and people can check it out by going to balto.ai, or they connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/BaltoCEO.
That is fantastic. I hope our listeners check that out. Well, Mark, this has been so much fun for me. Thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today. Like I said, I'm so excited about what you're doing. I believe Balto is going to change the way that we operate. And I just hope that a lot of our listeners check you out. So thank you again for making time to be on the show.
Lisa, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Really had a good time today.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.